Hello, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading this podcast from ABF, the Soldiers' Charity. Give me enough ribbons to place on the tunics of my soldiers and I can conquer the world, said Napoleon at the height of his success. But what of the medal, which is no more than a cheap bit of base-plated metal with a pretty ribbon stuffed in a drawer for much of the year? In this second podcast of Voices of V-Day, 75 years on, I'm joined by the Antiques Roadshow arms and military expert Mark Smith to tell us about medals of the Second World War and the importance particularly of the medals on Grandad's chest. Mark, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for coming along.
Good morning, Harry. Nice to be here.
and what have you got to tell us about that? I know you've got a table loaded with medals from the Second World War. Tell us a bit about what you've got in front of us and what you've laid on.
Well, what I'm conscious of is the fact that what we're going to see over the next few days are some veterans from the Second World War, and they're going to be wearing chestfuls of medals. And for most people, that's just a chest full of medals. But for anybody who knows a little bit about them, you can start to tell what service they were in and where they served. So what we've got here on the table are what are called the campaign stars and medals of World War II. So these are the sort of the basic things that people got for going various different places during World War II. What we're looking at are these little stars here. Yeah. So this is the most common one that you're going to see. This is the 1939-45 star. So when it first came out, it was the 1939-43 star because they didn't know how long the war was going to go on for. But the medal didn't actually come out until 1946-47. So by that time, they got the time to change it. Now, if you look at the ribbon, all of these ribbons were designed by King George VI.
Really?
And all of the ribbons mean something and tell you where people are. So on this first one, which is something for every service, you can see it's the colours of the three services, the Navy first, the Army in the middle, and then the Royal Air Force. And it's an equal share of the ribbon because the task was equal. If you look at something like this one, this is the Africa Star. So this is for people who fought in North Africa. If you look at the ribbon, again, designed by the king, the predominant color is red for the army. On the right hand side there's the dark blue of the navy, and on the left a little thin stripe for the Royal Air Force, which again is him trying to show the contribution of those forces. So majorly this was an army thing, and obviously the background color is sand, giving you an idea that you're in Africa. Now this one is called the Defence Medal. Now, actually, this is one of the most difficult medals to get in World War II, because if you're in uniform, you have to serve for 3 years defending England. Now, all of the other medals are awarded for a period of time. So there's 39-45 star for 6 months, and the other campaign stars for 30 days, unless your service is curtailed by death or wounds. So if you landed on D-Day, that was your first time ever in action, and bless you, you got killed, you still got the set of medals that were awarded to you. However, this one, no, you have to do the full 3 years. So this is a tricky old thing for service people, because if you're a Battle of Britain pilot defending England, you can't get more defending England than that.
Yeah.
And you get killed in the Battle of Britain, you're not entitled to this because you haven't done 3 years. Now, this is also the one that they gave to the Home Guard, the ARP, fire watchers, auxiliary fire service, people like that, the civil defence people who were here in England defending. Now, again, if you look at the ribbons, this one is the green fields of England. The orange stripe in the middle is the fire of the Blitz, and the two black stripes represent the blackout. King George VI, I mean, he really had a go at getting this right. And he thought about what these medals would mean to people. Now, they come in sets, as it were, so you can also tell from what people have got as to how long they served for. So if you ever see someone with a 39-45 star, and this one, which is called the 39-45 War Medal, so just the two, nothing else, no campaign stars in the middle, that tells me and other people who are looking at it who have some idea that that person was at Dunkirk and was captured because he never had a chance to go anywhere else.
So just so the listeners understand, the medal is a round medal, and a star is awarded for a campaign. So a medal in the shape of a star is a campaign medal.
Yes, the star-shaped ones, like this one, this is for Italy. For World War II, every medal that they issued that represented a country or a battle or a campaign is shaped like a star. The round ones really are for your service during the war. The one that we just showed you there, the 39-45 War Medal, this one here, that one really was given to everybody who was in uniform on VE Day and VJ Day, because that was... It's almost like the First World War Victory Medal. Hmm. Now, what we also did was we gave little clasps. Oh, I'll hold this one up as close as I can. So this one is a Burma star.
Yeah, and it has Burma written on it, yes.
They all say on them what they are. But if you look on the ribbon, there's a little clasp there that says Pacific. So there is a ruling that, for some theatres of operation, you can't have two stars. So, for example, Burma and the Pacific Theatre, you can't have the Burma Star and the Pacific Star. What you got was the medal, the star that you earned first, so in that case, Burma, and then if you moved on into the Pacific Theatre, you were then given the little clasp that goes on the Burma star, which represents your second award. So the most amount of stars you could get was 5, and the most clasps you could get was 3. So you could represent 8 theatres. You don't see them very often, and they're really only ever the Royal Navy. Because
how long did you to get a star for a campaign, how long did you have to stay in that theatre to qualify for it?
30 days.
So if you were killed on day one of arrival, you wouldn't get the star?
No, you still got the star, because the stars were issued if your service was curtailed by death or wounds, or the award of a gallantry medal.
Right.
So if you were there for one day and you won a military medal or something, or a Victoria Cross, then you got the campaign stars that went with it.
Right.
And then you end up with the group that looks something like this one. I thought I'd do this for you. It's Coldstream Guards.
Ah, very interesting. And that, look at that. How so wonderful. That's great. You want to get that cap star clean, Mark.
They live in a drawer, dear boy. So what you've got here is you've got a military medal. So that's a gallantry award. That's the first one. So it's only two away from the Victoria Cross.
Yeah.
Now you can begin to see where he's been. So you're looking at it now to say that, well, there's a 39-45 star. So we know that he's done 6 months in uniform.
Yes.
Before he can start qualifying for his stars. Then he has an Africa star. And if we look on the little ribbon there, he's got the first army clasp. So he was in that second part of the North African campaign that met up with the 8th Army.
Yes.
Then you can see that he moved from Africa to the Italy campaign, because he now has an Italy star. He's done 3 years in England before he went out to Africa, because he has the 39-45 defense medal.
Yeah.
And then the one on the end, as we say, is the war medal. So he was in uniform on the last day of the war. So now you can see that what you've got is the history of one whole man in just one little tiny row of medals. That's what I'm looking at when I look at people on the television, like when we saw Captain Tom. Now, lots of people said, oh, look, he's wearing his medals. And what I said was, oh, look, he was in Burma. Because you can tell instantly where he actually was.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to see over the weekend. So really what would be quite fun, I suppose, is if you could get yourself a picture of some of the ribbons. And then when we're watching the television and you're seeing someone being interviewed, you could have a quick look and you could work out where that chap or lady indeed had been serving during World War II.
And now, on these medals, some of them, for example, have different numbers on it. Notice that that Africa campaign, the Africa Star on his ribbons, on Sergeant Howe's ribbons, had a one on it. What's that mean?
Okay, so on the ribbon bar, when they're just worn on the tunic, so this bit down here, because there are three clasps that can be worn on the Africa Star, they are the 8th Army, the Desert Rats, the 1st Army, and then there's another one called North Africa 42-43, which was mostly for sailors. So when you're only wearing the ribbons, you have to be able to show people that you have earned something else.
Yeah.
So in the case of the 1st and 8th Army, they gave you a little tiny 1 and a little tiny 8. For the award of the 42-43 star, what they did is they gave you a rosette that you wore on the ribbon, which represents the wait a minute, let's get it up there. The award of a class. Can you see that one?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now this one is quite I've got it here. This is quite a rare one, because you'll see that the little clasp is on the 39-45 ribbon.
Yes, a very famous.
So the only original clasp for that one was this one, which is for the Battle of Britain pilots.
Right, I see. Yes.
So that is a very rare clasp, and to be fair, very expensive.
Really?
Really expensive, yeah. That is a very, very expensive piece of kit.
Mark, I noticed some anguish in your voice then. Was that did you go above the bidding price when you won that one?
Oh, luckily, you see, because I've been doing this for about 50-odd years, when I started buying these things, they were a little bit cheaper. I still think I spent pretty much every penny I had to get that back in the day. I think, if I'm going to be honest with you, I think that cost me £90. About 40 years ago. So it was a huge sum of money. But today, just a little piece of metal, just a little clasp, is about £3,000.
Really? Goodness. Did you buy that in an open auction, or did you buy it in a market, or how did you find it?
Oh, that particular one I bought in a shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, just an ordinary little clasp like that one, which is the North Africa 42-43 today.
Yeah.
Just to give you some idea of how rare the Battle of Britain one is, that one will be about £20 today.
Right.
So the Battle of Britain one is the hardest one to find. Now, since World War II finished, we've actually come up with two new awards for World War II. They came out bizarrely in 2013, and this was for two particular parts of the service. One was for the Royal Air Force. I know we're really talking about the Army, but I'll show it to you anyway.
Yeah.
And that's this little thing here. It's another little clasp. It's now the other one that goes on the ribbon of the 39-45 star.
Right.
And that's for Bomber Command.
Yes. Okay?
And that was their own particular award. These types of award are a bit strange, because the medals that came out at the time, you know, were supposed to represent the battles that these people had been in. But the one that some people may have heard of, which is the other one, which is quite hard to come across at the moment because they're quite new, again, 2013, is this thing, and this is the Arctic Star.
Yeah.
And that's for those people who went on the Arctic convoys. It can be given to the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. Air Force, obviously, because they were flying over it in things like Catalinas and Sunderlands and were coming off of some of the ships. On catapult things, the Navy, obviously, Merchant Navy, obviously, because they were there, but also soldiers, because the soldiers were what were called the defensively equipped merchant ship gunners. And when they joined the merchant ships, bless them, they left the Army and they were made sailors, merchant sailors. They were given these little books called continuous discharge books, which is like a little like a log book for their ship.
Yeah.
They had really nothing else to do with the Army. They wore military uniform. And the reason that they had to join the Merchant Navy was because there's a maritime law that says if you are armed and on a ship but not part of the ship's company, you are a pirate. therefore you can be hanged. And the Germans said, if you have any gunners on your ships that aren't part of the ship's company, we will deem them as pirates and we will hang them. So most of these guys who were the army people were from the Royal Artillery, and bless them, they trained them, probably somewhere like Lark Hill. They got all ready to go off and fire their 25 pounders. They got sent to a shed somewhere in Cardiff and were told, right, sign there. You're now in the Merchant Navy. That's your ship. Away you go. And off they went, bless them. And some of them spent 4 or 5 years at sea. And when you try and find out what happened to them, you come up against this huge wall, because they're not soldiers. They're merchant seamen. So you have to go down a whole different route to find out where they went.
And even then, it's very incomplete. What bad luck.
Absolutely. You have to, if you really want to find out what happened to them, you have to have that, because that's the record. And if they lost it, see, sometimes these things were given into the ship's purser. So if the ship sank, the book went with them. So you can't find them.
There's no record of any Germans hanging poor gunners, is there?
No, not that we ever came across, no.
There was an incentive, yeah.
Now, we're just going to come to the last couple of bits about this, because most people, if you're a modern soldier from 1945 onwards, or even if you're a really old soldier from Waterloo onwards up to World War II, when your medals came out, they had your name on them. Now, for World War II, we ran out of money. So, alas, all of the medals that came, this is the back, are blank.
Right.
And this did cause a lot of people just to throw their medals away.
Was that
in the first part, what they had to do was they had to apply for it themselves. So this is the card that you had to fill out.
Goodness.
And you had to state where you thought you'd been, and then post it. So if you didn't post it, you didn't get any medals. And then what happened is that the medals turned up 1946, 47 in these little tiny cardboard boxes with your name on the front.
Yeah.
And inside, one piece of paper that told you what medals you got. So you see this chap got 4.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And the fact that it was awarded to you by the Army Council. But the only thing that had your name on it was the cardboard box.
Right.
So if you threw the box on the fire, that's the end of the story. Now, bless you, if you were killed, the same box arrives, but you'll see that this one is addressed to a lady.
Yes.
This is Bragg.
Yeah.
And then the slip inside says, the Under Secretary of State for War presents his compliments and has the honour to transmit the enclosed awards granted for service. The council share your sorrow that Gunner Bragg, in respect of whose services these awards are granted, did not live to receive them. And that's the only time they ever put your name on anything, was if you were actually killed in the war. And again, actually, to be fair, you didn't have to apply for those. They were sent out automatically if you'd been killed.
Yeah. But it's
a huge travesty. It's so unfair that for that 6 years, which really was quite a horrendous time, and we really did fight, you know, all the way across the world.
Yes.
They couldn't put your name on the back of the medal. Not fair.
A quick stamping would have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But was that a cause of, at the end of the war, was that a cause of some sort of upset amongst the old soldiers and sailors in Yemen?
Definitely. I remember talking a long time ago now, about 35 odd years ago, to a chap. He was an airman, and he'd won the most coveted star of World War II, which is this thing, which is called the Aircrew Europe.
Yeah.
It's an expensive star. There's really not that many of them. And he had got his set of medals, he said, and they arrived in the post. He put the box in his car, the cardboard box in his pocket, went to work on the train, opened the box on the train, worked out that it was just two stars, two round ones, a bit of paper and some ribbon in a cardboard box. None of it had his name on it. Got off the train at London Bridge and threw them in the Thames.
Got him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that happened quite a lot. You do see medals still in their little cardboard boxes. What you have to remember, I sometimes try and say about medals, is that the guys and girls that you'll see wearing them over VE Day, they went through some, you know, rough times. And the more that you understand about the medals, the more you can see how rough that time may have been. And very often, medals aren't worn, are they? They're left in those cardboard boxes, and they live in a drawer. And that's really what medals are about. A lot of them are about remembering something or a time you don't really want to remember. So they live in the dark along with the memory.
Yes.
And actually, it's only now that we begin to see, you know, our Second World War veterans who are getting fewer and fewer, but they're now wearing those medals with more pride than probably we've seen for a very long time.
Yes, yes.
You know, I don't think we got to see people wearing medals really until 1984, when we had that 40th anniversary of D-Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And all those lads marched along the beaches at Aramonche.
Yes.
And they started to wear their medals. And all of a sudden, wearing your medals from World War II became something you could be proud of. My dad was an air gunner in World War II. I got a little picture of him here. And this is taken on the 60th anniversary of VE Day. He only did his uniform. And I had to get his medals, the miniatures mounted for him, because he'd never taken his medals out of the cardboard box. I think like a lot of people, he'd done his job, he came home, and that was it. You know, let's move on. And my only sort of bonus about this is that I was talking to a lady yesterday who phoned me up. She saw me on the roadshow, and she wanted to ask me about working out what her dad did and where he went, because he would never tell anyone.
Yes.
Well, I was on the other foot on that one, because when I turned up, my bedtime stories was my dad telling me what it was like to be in an aeroplane.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. And I think you have two types. You either have someone who will tell you their story because that's the way they do it, or you have people who won't tell you the story because that's the way they do it. And it's, you know, it's down to the individual as to how they feel about that. But the one thing that we can say is that even if they don't tell you the story is on their chest, because those medals will tell you where they were.
It is strange, isn't it, that something that really is so cheap to make can mean so much to so many people.
Absolutely. And, you know, they are emotive little things. Even, you know, even down to the point where in 2000 and whatever it was, 13, you know, we're still thinking about World War II, and we're still trying to honour those people who were there in certain circumstances, because we think that even after all these years, they haven't been recognised in the way that they should have. The one thing that we should have done, and the one thing that we didn't do, is we should have made a clasp, one of those little things that says something like this one, 8th Army. I think we really missed a trick here, the one that we didn't make one that said the 6th of June, 1944.
For D-Day specific.
Because I think there should have been a D-Day specific. People say that maybe there should have been a Dunkirk specific, but, you know, we did actually withdraw, and it's difficult to give a medal for. I know all of the things around Dunkirk. It's, you know, it's an amazing operation. I understand all that, but you know, it's difficult to give a medal for a withdrawal.
Yeah.
But D-Day, no, I think there should have been something special for D-Day, and I think those people should have got something different for that.
It was the turning point in the war. Because what one forgets is that for these celebrations that we have for VE Day, of course, to celebrate, you have to have something to mark it. In other words, so it was the release after 6 years of dreadful suffering, and the world was getting back to normal. That was the key thing about it.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, we who didn't live through it can understand it. Sometimes I live in a Victorian street in London, And when I decorate, I'm reminded that my house remembers the Blitz, because I still got cracks in the ceiling from bombs that dropped around us here in London. And I think we forget, you know, how dreadful this was. Not just for soldiers, sailors and airmen, merchant seamen, WAFT, whatever you might have been doing. You know, even if you were just someone's mum at home here in London or Coventry or Liverpool or where, you knew what this war was about. This was a war that was global and was for everybody was involved.
And had been a long haul, not just 2 or 3 months. It had been a long haul, 6 years of suffering. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being my guest on the podcast today. For more images and other medals that Mark has been talking about, please visit the podcast page on the ABF website, which is soldierscharity.org. Mark, it behoves me then to say thank you so much for being our guest today. And for more of Mark's work about medals and militaria, please visit baldwin.co.uk. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to learn more about the work of ABF, the Soldiers Charity, and how we support veteran soldiers and their families, please visit soldierscharity.org. With editing by Michael Siliani, this has been a GamePR production, the Soldiers Charity.